The FA Cup dream is over for another year. We look back at West Brom and then we look forward to the return of the Championship. We talk all things Wigan Athletic in our new feature, A Bit From The Club. We look forward to Villa and look at the transfer window latest. Also, we've got another instalment of Adam Asks. I'm Simon and this is the Progress With Unity podcast. Come on, you lads, it's your... Right, great intro, that's Si. Once again. Adam, how are we doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Who are you talking to?
The youngest, the better looking one.
Thank you.
One with more prospects.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've got experience.
Keep going.
I've got experience, though.
Older Adam, how are you?
Yeah, top of the world. Not got any money, no prospects, but I'm sat here with you guys tonight, so.
Where would you rather be? Thorpey, Mr. Paul, how are we doing?
All right, I suppose. Yeah,
brilliant.
You want anything else other than that? Will that do you?
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. And Barry,
how are you doing, Si? Yeah,
taking a back seat tonight. You're in the stands, aren't you?
Got a little bit of stick last week for me mourn. Yeah, well, me negativity. But
after the strongly worded email we received, it's probably a good job we
could have been demoted.
Dropped,
yeah. It was interesting listening last week because it's usually top of the world positivity in this.
Well,
podcast, isn't it?
That's been a bit of feedback. I've read a couple of message boards. I'm not really a message board fan, and we've had some mixed reviews. Some people, quite a lot of people saying we're bothering with what we're saying, and someone saying that we just moaned. Yeah.
I think you've got to reflect what's going on at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah, and that's what people are saying. We're on about.
Yeah, we're not being scoreline pundits out with Piers Morgan's.
No.
Because we've been positive when we've lost, but there comes a point when you look at and you think,
it's difficult to.
Christmas, yeah. We've got a point during Christmas. Yeah. You know, we've had as many points as.
We've got the worst form in the country.
The saviour.
Of the top four divisions.
Well,
worst form.
I'm going to give a shout out to Neil Sherrett because he's catching up on his podcast and he says it all sounds dead positive at the minute.
I just wait until he gets to today.
No, I think most of it last week was for criticism. I think some of the message boards are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, so I think some of those are deserving of criticism.
Yeah, keyboard warriors. But let's go to West Brom in the Emirates FA Cup with the stats tonight. Paul.
Alright, okay.
In the style of Gareth.
I can't do the style of Gareth.
There's only one Gareth, isn't
there? It's too unique. Possession, West Brom 55%, Latix 45%. Attempts, West Brom 12, Latix 9. Attempts on target, West Brom 6, Latix 2. Corners, West Brom 3, Latix 7. Fouls committed, West Brom 10, Latix 13.
Yes.
Yellow cards, 2 each. Red cards, none each. Goals, West Brom 1. Us note.
Thank you, Paul. Now, first thing I want to say, I'm going to take a positive. We'll go for a positive straight out of the game. Reece James, when he made that challenge on the edge of our area, pings a ball to Josh Windass. Textbook. Oh, brilliant. That's enough to make you go and watch us every week, isn't it?
Tell you what, you didn't look out of place in centre mid.
Didn't.
Absolutely not.
I thought.
But I did correct Mr. Kendrick because he did have a short spell in there at Sheffield United.
Yes, yeah, we noticed that. But I thought, all in all, it wasn't the worst game I've seen over the period. And is it a blessing that we're out, considering what's going on in the league, or would just getting a win, would that have helped?
No, it's never a blessing to go out of the cup. You win as many games as you can. And
yeah, we're never going to win it though, are we?
No, never. Not a club like ours.
No. Young Adam, what's your thoughts on the game?
It were rubbish, right?
we had this discussion in the toilet. Post-match.
We had 10 minutes of the start and then that was it. And then we had, you know, towards the end, but nothing concrete. We had one good chance for Grigon from goal, a good save from the keeper. But apart from that, as soon as that 10-minute mark went, West Brom just grew into the game, got themselves a goal. I thought, you know, they're on their way to getting one here if we're not careful. And then that was it. And then sort of a 5-10 minute spell midway through second half, kind of towards the 70th minute mark, made a few chances, but nothing that you'd expect against a team that has been thrown together by West Brom, who lads who haven't been playing, which I suppose you could say they're trying to get a point and try and push their way into the team, but still, you should be expecting more.
The class is a few young lads from there. There's a mixture of youth and, well, and reserves, that team.
I've got a stat on this, if you don't mind me chirping in. West Brom starting lineup. How many of their first team played in that game? The team that played in the previous fixture against us?
None.
And how many played from the Latics?
Five.
Can you name them?
I can name them, yeah. Naismith, Windass, let me just carry on.
Yeah.
Dunks.
James.
Keepre. No, it's not James. Who have I said? Windass? Naismith.
You said Naismith twice.
Naismith, we know he played twice.
We know he thought he had a good game.
We had Naismith, Dunks, Keepre, Connolly.
Adam's best mate.
Connolly was the one, wasn't it?
And
Windass.
So that tells you a lot about the state of the games itself, isn't it? You know, both teams are making change. For me, it was a chance for the likes of Callum McManaman to prove himself, for Greig to get a bit of confidence, for Jamie Jones to get some minutes in net.
Jones did all right.
I thought he made a fantastic save just before
he
scored.
But I thought he was decent in the work he did as well. I thought he played well.
I mean. Yeah.
As for the others, they didn't prove.
We didn't create anything, did we?
I mean, as for that, the calls say Paul Cook doesn't know what he's doing. Why are we not throwing on this Lopez? He's going to change everything for us. Well, I'm not writing a player off because he's a young lad, but Paul Cook knows that he's not going to be the player who returns this season for us. He's there for the long term. And he didn't look great, did he?
I was disappointed with Lopez. He looked good, make a tackle. It's good to take anyone on, and for a player who should be trying to, you know, prove himself and get himself into the team, he did nothing for me to suggest that he should be in the first team in the league.
Maka did one, well, that pass.
Yeah, that was the only time we kind of, clever bit of movement got through, wasn't it? I mean, you look at the difference between the two sides, they were passing out of the back, splitting the centre backs, you know, creating space, dragging people out. When our keeper had the ball, you know, there was none of that. And it just resorted to an eventual long ball up to no one.
Yeah.
There's no kind of build-up play, weren't they?
You know, they had some good pace.
And we had our two main centre halves playing, and they had two, you know, young lads playing in centre half. I mean,
we didn't create anything through the middle of the park.
It comes through the whole team though. Yeah. And from the back it looked rubbish.
I thought Evans was decent. I thought he had his best game for a while. I think he'd had a couple of games where he dropped
a bit of minutes into it.
But especially coming in when he wasn't expecting it.
Connolly, still don't think he's a central midfielder at all. Much for him at fullback.
That Ipswich guy got, he said, didn't he, just because he played in centre midfield on the Mick McCarthy.
It's completely different.
That's him, and the ball's bypassing you, because it's been hoof long. Out of the FA Cup, after last year's...
Heroics,
great run. We'd have been rewarded with a trip down to the south coast, to Brighton. We could have played against Dan Byrne down there. But that's it really, we're out of the FA Cup. What more can we say?
Nothing. All we've got to play for now is the league.
Yeah.
Bit like Liverpool really.
Apart from the Champions League, which is at the battle.
Nah, they're not going to win that, are they?
They're never going to win it.
Never won it before, have they?
So, talking of, you know, changes, there could be one afoot this weekend. In 2 weeks. Yeah, this weekend maybe actually. Michael Jacobs has took his time out. He's been speaking with our reporter Nick, who has fired some questions towards him. So let's have a listen to what Michael's got to say.
Michael, great to catch up. Just wondering first off how the injury is and sort of how the recovery's been.
It's been good. It's been last couple of weeks, sort of over Christmas. Has helped me pick it up a little bit, so I've been out on the grass for sort of 2 or 3 weeks to try and just get back into some sort of routine of training and just getting sort of hitting the things that I need to hit. Obviously, with having a hamstring injury, sort of sprints and accelerations, decelerations. But I feel really good. So back training today with the lads for the first time. So it's sort of nice to be back out there. And hopefully sort of we'll look at being involved at the weekend. I'm not sure in what sort of terms, but my due date back originally at the start of the injury was next week against Sheffield Wednesday. So I'm sort of a week ahead of where I should be, which is good. But just got to make sure that I sort of take my time and sort of make sure I'm like progressing well.
After your start to the season and also because of the tough run that we're on, how frustrating has it been to be out of the team?
I think it's hard. It's always hard to watch, but if you're not involved with the lads in terms of selection, or the manager doesn't pick you, or if you're injured. But it's just hard to obviously to see the boys that putting all their effort in, and obviously not results not being what we wanted the last sort of couple of months, which isn't ideal, especially after the sort of start we had. But you can see there's a lot of quality in the squad still, with players coming back from injury and the boys that are out there. And if the manager brings players in, then we're going to have a competitive squad, and that's what you need at this level, to sort of try and get us out of this like little rut that we're in. But I think there's a lot of positivity around the place, even though the results haven't been that great. But we're in a position where we can, if we string a couple of wins together, then we can get ourselves in a better position. So that's the main sort of aim. And sort of coming back, I just want to try and help out as much as I can.
From your personal point of view, we spoke earlier in the season about the Championship and having a good crack at the Championship and not having an injury, and then it came just at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That must give you extra motivation to make the end of this season a success for this football club, so that you can do that again next season.
Yeah, definitely. I think you look at it, obviously we started so well, had some fantastic results both home and away, and I think if you go through the season and if we hadn't won, had a spell like we did at the start of the season, you'd be a bit like, oh, are we good enough this level? Aren't we capable of playing at this level? But at one point in the league, we were third in the league, and putting results together away from home, and obviously our away form hasn't been great, but to go and win at Stoke, to go and win at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and just put a bit results, beat West Brom at home and stuff like that, we are capable of picking up results in this league. So I don't think the confidence and the belief has gone. It's just we've conceded goals at times when we've been on top, and it's you're playing against players in this division where they'll pick you off if you make a mistake, and unfortunately for us over the last couple of months we've made mistakes and people have punished us for it.
And your hopes for the end of the season? I know at the start of seasons people speak about what targets they set personally, but I suppose when you're through a season like this, there are very few personal targets. It's all about the team, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think you look at it, well, like the club, I think the club would openly say at the start of the season it was to stay in this division. Like, since I've been here, we're up, down, up so far. So in terms of we want to stay in the division, the club wants to become a consistent Championship club and stay at this level and hopefully progress and go on further to the Premier League. But like you said, coming up, like the league's really competitive. There's probably 7 or 8 teams, even more, that could go up. It's probably 8 or 9 teams potentially at the minute that could go down, and you sort of your middle of the road teams that normally are there or thereabouts. So it's a tough division. You look at our running games that are coming up, it doesn't get any easier. So it's all about just trying to string a few results together to try and help us out.
Well, it was nice of Michael to take his time out and have a chat with us.
I think it comes across exceedingly well, doesn't it?
Thorpey, how did you describe him before?
So he was a cracker.
Michael Jacobs, you know, you said...
You put me on the spot there, because I was saying that for the stereotypical footballers being thick as T-shirt lengths, he sounds like he's got a few brain cells, which is... You know, it's the absolute epitome of damning with faint praise, isn't it?
Very articulate.
Yeah.
And you also said you liked him as a player as well, didn't you?
Yeah, he's an exciting player to watch. And like I say, when he's done commentary on the radio, he's done a good job there as well. So,
what you want in a player?
Yeah, something. He pulled his headphones out or something.
I mean, it's
just when they get excited. Yeah,
it's great to hear that he's nearing the matchday squad and.
Yeah, well, like you say, you're looking for somebody who could do something a bit different, aren't you?
Yeah.
As we're about to sign another player in his position, but there you go.
Emo Powell is what you want to do something.
Well, speaking of transfers.
Yeah.
Speaking of transfers, the window is open, and for some clubs it's going well.
Yeah.
Some clubs it's going not so well, and T-shirts have been made and pints offered. But the less said about Forest Green Rovers, the better. Because, there's a nice little read on
it. I was speaking to a Bolton supporter today, and I kind of stole it from somebody else-ish. I didn't steal the exact phrase, but that it was there. You want to see them relegated, not liquidated.
Did anyone see the club statement today?
Well, absolutely scandalous.
I saw the one that said nothing.
No, there's a one.
Yeah. Absolutely scandalous. He's a disgrace, that fella, yeah. Isn't he?
I feel sorry for the proper fans, the fans, because they've ruined the club.
You're not using club communications to put stuff like that out. No.
You always feel sorry for the fans, irrespective of your rivals. They're like us, they go watch you, and they pay their money, don't they? And you have rivalry with teams, and it's good, but you don't want your rivals going out of business, and you don't want them being run by
crooks.
No, they read it out on Sky, though, on Sky Sports News, but they read it out like a statement, like they were, I mean, alright, it was Ken Anderson who'd done it, but they read it out, and then they just, when they finished, they stopped and moved on, as though what he was saying was the truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I mean, the way news outlets put things over these days is scary. Yeah. They should have at least commented on it. I think Juliet Farrington has tweeted it today, hasn't she, with like some emoji, saying that it's an absolute load of twaddle.
Well, what I would do to carry that is that why not get somebody from who represents the fans, I don't know if they have a podcast or not, but just get somebody to get
there's quite a few things like that line of Vienna, for example.
Get someone to comment it, to counter it. Otherwise, if you just put one statement out, people don't look beyond that. They think, it must be true.
He's saying Vince Dale. I mean, personally, it was Vince Dale's one of the strangest people he's ever come across. It's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. The FL have told us. How we can sign players. It's rubbish about the embargo.
That reminded me of like someone's face.
Never mentioned the £500,000 he's been paid this year, or his son. 125 grand in consultancy fees.
It reminded me, some Facebook posts when someone just goes on a bit of a rant that's absolutely rubbish. And they've taken it as like the official statement.
Yeah,
that is the gospel.
Yeah. I want to change my comments. I don't think Crooks is right. It's a bad egg. That's what it is.
Absolute bad egg. Yeah. But I think a lot of Bolton supporters has agreed with the first insinuation, Crook. Mm. Yeah, because they would. I mean, they got that money out of Eddie Davis, didn't they, on his deathbed as well?
Yeah,
which was absolutely disgusting. Then they got the PFA to pay for stuff. And then you read about Forest Green having paid this Christian Doge's douche.
The way I read that, and understand that, is that actually, when the player goes on loan and the borrowing club pay the wages, it makes sense for the actual team with the contract to pay his wages and basically bill them back to the team that's borrowed them, if you see what I mean.
No.
So
but they signed into, like we have with Evans, I've no doubt we've paid Evans his wages.
But the player's employer is the club that he's contracted to, not the club that he's on loan. You're contracted to us, but you just go and work
Forest,
over there.
Forest Green Rovers will have paid his fees, his wages.
Yeah. On the expectation
that Bolton will give them the money.
Give them the equivalent money, yeah. And then Bolton obviously haven't pwned it up.
I mean, there's a lot to it, isn't it? Because obviously a certain Mr. Wilchut has been, allegedly not paid as well. But let's talk about the best team in the North West, and if not the land, then not the world.
Well, which one, Liverpool City?
No, Wigan Athletic.
All right. We're the best?
Yes, yeah.
We've had 1 point in how many weeks?
The best club. We're the best club.
Cracking little club. So let's start off with incomings. Anthony Pilkington. We broke this news a year ago.
We did. In fact, I did.
Yeah.
1 year ago.
It was a slow news.
Fell down at the last moment.
So.
And he ended up playing in the FA Cup. He scored and he went on a little run. And I think he finished the season with 6 goals in 15 games. So, anyway, he's signed. It's not out yet. It might be out by the time this podcast is out, but he's signed. I know he has.
Excellent. So you've heard it here
heard it first.
For the second,
so
for the
some second people are asking, what's he like? Well, so
what's he like, Barry?
He started off the Stockport County, and we were actually scouting him when he was playing for Stockport, and we was umming and ahhing whether to take him. Huddersfield stepped in, and he made a name for himself at the Terriers, and he had a couple of good seasons with them. And then he shot off to Norwich, when again we was actually looking at him again, but Norwich stepped in. And he played in the Premier League. I think 75 Premier League appearances, has he? Something like that. He's a bit 6 foot winger. So he's a big lad. He's got a cracking free kick on him. I think he'll be a good signing.
Has he ever played central striker?
No, I'm not sure. He's definitely
been playing up front somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's in a three, possibly.
I think he'd be a good addition, as long as he can hit the ground running. And he's, I mean, the only thing that worries me is the fact that he's not played this season.
It seems to be a common Wigan thing, doesn't it? Yeah. That we always seem to sign players who are miles behind in terms of. So look at Garner at the start of the season. He was miles behind. We've had a few like that who are they come in and they're just not ready to play.
He's already played for a Wigan Borough team anyway. Because he started his senior career at Aberton Collieries heading to Stockport.
Well, I played there myself.
you might have played alongside him.
Probably not.
Or against him. Yeah. 2006.
Yeah.
But yes, so Anthony Pilkington could be one who's on the way in. Rumours of left backs.
Well, Blackett from Reading.
Tyler Blackett, yeah, that's one name that's mentioned.
Three bids turned down.
Yeah, what we offered at least was 450, were it? 1,000. Yeah. What did they pay? A million and a half for him?
Yeah.
Two years ago.
And a Vauxhall Mariva.
Were we not running rings round him? I forget who it was playing for us, but whoever it was running rings round him when we played Reading.
Did we?
He struggled, yeah.
I thought Reading played Luke Tarr out when we played.
He struggled, yeah. No, but I remember him.
Oh, he played at left back, didn't he?
I remember
he
did him play struggling.
Left back. Yeah, yeah. Had Rich,
no, he struggled.
He struggled against, because we haven't had a good
I'm trying to think who it was.
Well, we'll leave you to think. Two potential loan signs that have been discussed and are out there, and maybe more from the fans than anyone else. Gyson Bong coming in. And
that was a false rumour, wasn't it?
Well, he's out there. And Leighton Baines.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked.
Jack Elker's another name.
I was asked. It's about who you'd want. If you was to pick your ideal left back to come in, I watched him the other day on the game he played. He just looked like he'd never been aware. He's still a
confused.
If we could pick any left back to come in, who's remotely realistic, he'd be the one.
I'd go Gene Bosajo, getting back from Chile.
Crosses in. They were glorious.
Then there's another potential outgoing, which for me would need a potential incoming to come in first. Up to the northeast is William Grigg.
Boo! So it's going to be speculated.
I think it's tightened up a bit, hasn't it, over the last couple of hours, I think, hasn't it? There's been...
They put a bid in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was just pretty much... The question is, what...
He should be starting.
There was a debate about what he would command, and someone said 5 million. I can't see anyone in that division paying 5 million, and I honestly can't actually see why anyone would pay 5 million for him.
Well, do they want to?
In that league?
Yeah,
they get you hard sales.
You make a fortune.
I mean, look at the
royalties.
Him and Max Power would link up well.
It seems an odd one for Sunderland because what's his name? He's just come back, hasn't he? The guy they got from Bradford, Charlie White. He's just come back. They've still got the other guy there. Who's I don't know what's going on with him.
He's refused a contract, hasn't he? Yeah. So he could be on his way out.
But he's still their player, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then I suppose McGeady's not a striker, but he's an attacker, isn't he? Seems an odd one, unless they're moving him on the Manchester, is it? Manchester.
Yeah.
And there's Milero from Blackpool that's been linked with the Latics as well. Defender? Can't think of his name.
No.
It's escaped me. He played
25-ish.
Yeah, he played against Arsenal.
From Bury as well.
Oldham centre back.
There's that Accrington fella as well.
Who's it?
Accrington, that's the one.
Yes.
Callum Johnson, something.
Yeah, something. Yeah, Johnson.
A few names in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all made us think about it. Let's get as many Callums in as we can who are on bench.
We were linked with Exeter striker, weren't we? Who's decided to make who made the switch to
PNE.
Preston love a lower league signing, don't they?
Yeah.
They're after all the gems. I mean, it's a good business model, isn't it?
The other fellow who ended up at Colchester.
Omar Bogle.
They're doing players who are actually doing stuff. Mikael Mandron's scored about two.
I think Bong would. Bogle would. He'd scored quite a lot of goals, hadn't he?
Yeah.
When we signed him.
19. So he scored 3 since.
Yeah.
Two of them for us.
Well, that's what I was going to go on to. I had a quick look at his stats, Will Gregg Championship stats, and albeit some of these are sub games, I think he's played 43 games, and he's in the Championship and scored 8 goals, but only 4 of them have been from open play. So if there was a sale, they could probably put a case out for why they'd sell him. Because he just isn't.
He's never had a fair crack under it.
I would agree. There's definitely a mitigating circumstance as to why he hasn't, and I still think he's their best striker. But the stats don't. There's players who I think, in my view, are worse than him. He was scoring a lot more goals. So is that the way we play in the Championship?
I think he's had 2 healthy runs in the team, and that was the start of this season, the start of the last time in the Championship, and. Both times, I think he grabbed about
5 goals
by the end of September. I mean, come on, both of them have been international break related kind of injuries and stuff.
Most of them were penalties, weren't they?
Yeah, but
it was penalty against Blackburn, weren't it? That season, that Adam stuff, anyway.
You've scored.
Cracking goal, man.
Right.
Did you score a penalty against City? Or West Ham?
Or Bournemouth.
Yeah. Right, okay. So let's move on.
Well, they did score a penalty against one of them, didn't it?
West Ham.
Got an header at far post.
Oh, that was a great header, wasn't it?
I'm just throwing it out there as a debate. You're just saying.
There's been a bit of bullshit about the fact that they can't play against. We're boring, Simon.
Yeah.
He can't play against rough and tumble centre backs, so that's why he doesn't play against the more physical sides. He's grown up in League One, and what more rough and tumble can you get?
He's a player. Even in League One, we'll get back to your chair in a minute. Even in League One, that first season when he came in, he needed about 10 games to get going.
Yeah. Because he has to get sharp, doesn't he? I mean, his game's about his sharpness in the box.
Billy.
And it's not fair him coming on for 10 minutes and expecting him to score a goal. Or sat on the bench for 4 or 5 games, then throwing him on.
Be interesting to see how many he's ever scored from us from the bench. I don't remember him scoring loads from the bench because I don't think he's that.
Scored against Fylde. He came on against Fylde, didn't he? Saved the tie last season.
In league matches. It's unusual, isn't it? So he needs to be starting, getting sharp and stuff.
Right. You two, Will Griggs.
Loving.
Yeah. Right, anyway, new feature.
Mm-hmm.
Bit from the club to go along with the bit in the paper kind of things we see on Twitter and what have you. Just 3 things. Nathan Byrne, 2021. He's signed himself a new contract.
So what is it, 20 or 21?
Till 2021.
Oh.
Let's have a listen to what he has to say.
Nathan, congratulations. You just signed a 2.5-year contract with Wigan Athletic. Just how pleased are you to get this sorted?
Yeah, I'm delighted. I've had a great time since coming in here. Obviously, last season was fantastic for everyone, and this season, battling away. And I'm enjoying my football, I'm enjoying my time, so I'm delighted to re-sign.
How reassuring is it to get it done for a footballer 6 months towards the end of your contract as well? I suppose it's always good to get settled down, it helps you.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, you don't want to be going into the summer without a contract. The manager's wanting to get something sorted for a while, and so have I. So I'm happy it's over the line and I can kick on now.
How would you describe your time at Wigan Athletic? It's been up and down, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first season was tough. I think it was tough for everyone at the club, but going into last year, 99% were highs. So Obviously, as a footballer, you're happy every day. And I think this season has been a bit of both of that. So, you know what football's like, and there's good days and bad days, but I'm delighted that I'm here and I'm happy to continue.
What would you say have been your best memories of your time at Wigan Athletic?
Obviously, promotion's the top one. The FA Cup run was fantastic, obviously, but I think I'd probably say Doncaster was the best day. Seeing the fans go crazy and the boys come together and see the reward of the whole season, that's probably been my best day here so far.
Well, that was nice to hear from Nathan Byrne on, and congratulations on his new contract at the Latics. Nottingham Forest tickets are now on sale for the away trip. £15 for an adult.
Wow.
Good price for your adults. Over 65, nearly there, Barry. £10 a ticket. Under 24s, young Adam, £5. And if you've got any under 12s, £1. Those are proper ticket prices. Get yourselves down to Forest and get supporting
them. What day is it?
Last
week in January.
I think it must be. Yeah, it's following the Sheffield Wednesday game, isn't it? Yeah.
26th.
When's their week off?
24th.
23rd's a Wednesday.
So it's 25th, 26th.
Yeah. So great ticket prices, make your way down. Still places available on coaches. Other forms of transport. Yeah. Probably a
Sheffield Wednesday are also available, but they're very much like Bolton, expensive. Yeah.
And then the last thing from the club, the under-18s in the Lancashire FA Youth Cup are into the Lancashire FA Youth Cup finals for a 5-0 win against Rochdale. So that's taking place in April against Preston North End, I believe. And they've tied this weekend at Hull in the FA Youth Cup. And that's this Saturday.
What range is that?
I think that will be information to hand. Right. But that's our new feature. A bit from the club.
Geldart scored again, didn't he?
He did. Good to see the youth teams doing well. Good ticket prices and some positive news with Nathan Byrne, 2-time Player of the Year, Progress for Unity podcast Player of the Year last year as well.
He said that was a more important honour than his League One.
He did, yes, yeah. He said he didn't want to put it on. Nathan Byrne. He said he didn't want to put it on record because he didn't want to upset, the club and everything. But he said Closer the Unity podcast was the biggest accolade of his professional career
so far.
I can also confirm that he didn't say that. You could see it in his eyes, couldn't you? You could see it in his eyes when we were there. Anyway, moving on, we've got Villa. The Villains are in town on Saturday. And I all know, well, we all know that Paul wants to know who the ref is, don't you, Paul? Tony Harrington from Cleveland. He's issued 45 yellows and no reds. He last refed us away at Sheffield United in this season's 4-2 defeat when who got a red card?
Who? Morsey, wasn't it?
Gibson.
I don't know, that's a question.
Does he not sound
like a red card?
He just said he's not given any red cards.
Someone's wrote down on here Naismith red. I think it was linked to something else. I've took the notes off the editor.
Come on, Simon, don't blame all the
Naismith scored.
Yes, that's what I meant. Naismith scored.
Naismith replaced Gary Roberts, who was injured.
Yes, that's why I wrote.
Joe Garner got his to score for the Latics. Yeah.
That's why I wrote Naismith down. All hands up. Got it wrong. Just the test. Just the test. So previous 23 games, we've won 5, drawn 6 and lost 12.
We've only beaten once at all, haven't we?
Apparently so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we need to...
When was that?
3-2 in 2006.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
So,
I think it might have been Jimmy Bullard's last goal for the club.
Before we go through how we think the game's going to go, should we have a... We might have heard this voice before. Joe Chapman.
Adam Asks.
Yeah. In our section. Adam Asks.
So we've got Joe Chapman on again. It's hat-trick appearance, so we'll be taking the match ball home after tonight. We'll probably have him on again for the Birmingham game. It just shows that I don't actually have any friends, really. So obviously you'll have seen, following West Midlands football, Joe, you've seen quite a bit of the Villa this season. So just wonder really what you thought. But obviously there's been a change of manager about 2 or 3 months ago. Do you think they've got a lot better under Smith than under Bruce?
I think inevitably they've picked up that new manager bounce is something that is to be expected in most circumstances, but particularly in this situation because of the fact that Villa are appointing a manager who grew up watching them, lives around the corner from where the stadium is. You know, he just understands the very fabric of the football club. He obviously believes in a very, very possessive, attractive style of football. That was a totally different world to what Steve Bruce was kind of throwing up every week. And it's definitely paid dividends. There have been a few hiccups along the way, and they've probably drawn too many games than they've liked. But they've only lost the one in the last 10 or 11 matches, and that was to Leeds. So they've definitely picked up. They're still kind of in the mix.
Okay, well, we'll try and get back in touch with Joe as soon as possible. He's put us on hold.
Hello, Joe?
Hello, yeah, I'm here.
Lost you for a second then. It was sounding too positive about Villa, so we cut you off.
Got cut off.
Yeah, so obviously got the, you know, got the gist of it there in terms of, you know, obviously things have improved. They're playing a lot more attacking football. I mean, they've had a 5-all draw, haven't they, in that spell as well. So, I mean, did it surprise you about the showing up Tammy Abraham for the rest of the season? Because there was talk of him maybe going to a Premier League side like Wolves.
Yes, that's come out this week about Tammy. The one thing you've got to say is that Tammy will be, as far as I'm aware, will be 100% involved on Saturday. The actual cut-off point for a recall from Chelsea is not until early next week, so any potential permanent deals, which perhaps Abraham might be a bit more interested in, as we understand that he wasn't interested in another loan deal, to even if it was to a Premier League club, it was either Chelsea or somewhere else permanently, otherwise he was going to stay where he was. That was his mindset. So it'll be interesting to see if Wolves or Crystal Palace or anybody else come back in for him permanently. But as far as I'm aware, until, you know, Saturday comes, he'll be in the mix, and it's a huge, huge boost because, you know, they've got guys there that chip in with goals. I think Elgazi's got one or two. Balassi's obviously a threat. They've got Codger. Green has just picked up a little bit under Dean Smith, but without question, Tammy Abraham is undoubtedly the focal point.
Yeah, when we played back in August, obviously it was coming up to transfer deadline. There was a lot of talk then about Grealish, obviously moving on. And do you see any possibility of him moving on in this window, or is that going to be something that might happen in the? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the summer.
I think the latter. Yeah. The first thing you've got to realise is that Grealish is not going to be available until February anyway. He's injured until February. He obviously went off injured against Albion. In that game, that draw, back in, I think it was either late November or early December, and he's suffered an injury that many had to wear a protective boot, so he's not been able to play up until now, and he's not going to be able to, certainly not going to be available this weekend. And he's had a good season under Smith. Certainly in the last few months, he's really picked up. Something that you can normally level at him is the lack of goals and assists that he provides for his team. He normally wins a lot of fouls. He's a very, very, very clever dribbler of the ball. He protects the ball very, very well. Hence the kind of the amount of times he gets fouled. But his general play is definitely improving. In my eyes, anyway, still needs to have more goals. I still think he needs to be a player that scores double figures.
Yeah.
You know, to be like James Maddison, for example. You know, that kind of guy that makes that step up. Maddison scored goals like comfortably for Norwich. So that's something great, which I think would admit he needs to kind of continue improving with. I don't see him moving in January. I think if anything, he's obviously signed a 5-year deal after the closure of the transfer window, so
just puts his fee up, doesn't it, now in August. Yeah, whatever it is. Moving on to Saturday. Obviously you've obviously seen quite a bit of Villa, and you've seen a look quite a bit of Wigan now, haven't you, as well? I mean, you see, from a neutral perspective, how do you see the game going on Saturday? Do you give us any hope?
Well, the thing you've already kind of touched on, actually, is that whereas Blues have been very, very decent at the back this season, Villa have been quite the opposite. They've been a team that can concede big three, and as like we've already said, you know, five goals in one case in a game. They've drawn 2-2 about four or five times with Dean Smith already, so they're kind of dangerous at both ends, to be honest, in terms of you know, the goals they score and the goals they concede. So you've got to say that Swansea game aside for Wigan, the goals have not flown obviously recently, and it's one of those games you look at and you think, you know, they can be got at. They've brought Courtney Orr in on loan from Wolves. He's a big boost at the back in terms of shoring up the defence. But Twanzebe, who they've got on loan from Man United, has been absolutely outstanding. He's not going to be back until about March, so he's a big miss. The full-back areas are really questionable. El Mohammadi and Alan Hutton and Neil Taylor aren't players that you would have at the top end of the Championship, I don't think. You know, certainly not the modern-day Championship.
Not even the Scottish Cafe.
Well, I think Wigan can definitely get at them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, something. I mean, yeah, they won't. They'll never, ever play that down, Blues fans, that goal in the derby. But they can definitely be got at. I look at Callum McManaman, what I saw from him on Boxing Day, you know, albeit a cameo. He's lively, get on the ball. You know, Josh Windass. I think they definitely. I know I predicted they'd score at the Hawthorns, but I do think they'll be on the scoreboard on Saturday, as Preston did themselves, and obviously Preston were in a bad place personnel-wise, and they earned themselves a really, really decent and deserved point. So, you know, they'll have a few, they'll have 4,500 Villa fans there, and much like that Blues game, they will obviously have a significant role to play. But, I think what I've seen of Wigan, I think they're a very competitive side. They obviously haven't worked for them recently, but, I still think they could cause Villa a few problems.
So what's your score prediction then? What do you think?
I'm going to go the same as Preston, actually. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Stop the rot. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going, Joe? Are you covering the game on Saturday? Or you?
I'm not going to be there on Saturday, but I am going to see Dean Smith tomorrow.
All right. Okay. So.
Lovely things to say about Wigan, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, after he beat us 2-0 earlier in the season, I'm sure he's ready to have another go at us anyway. So, all right then. Cheers, Joe. Thanks for that.
All the very best, guys. Thank you.
Cheers. Yeah, cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Well, it's Joe again. You know, it's we'll probably be on again for the Birmingham game, but it's always good to get an insight of somebody who watches a team on a...
Good to have a new voice from the away fans, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Adam asks, he's getting a bit lazy.
Joe. Adam asks Joe, we could call it, couldn't we? Chappers.
Yeah.
That's the trouble when you get... But he's quite informed, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he knows his stuff.
I think it's good because he follows the different... There's obviously Villa, Birmingham, West Brom, who, you know, they're all decent sides this year as well, aren't they? So it's always good to get quite an insight, really. Probably should have asked him he's going to be biased to say West Brom are going to finish the highest of the three, isn't it?
Probably ever, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How do we see the game going, Barry? How do you see this game going?
Well, listening to Joe and talking about the Villa defence sort of gives you a little bit of hope. Again, it all depends what team we put out and if we've made any signings before then. I mean, obviously, Pilkington is going to be coming in, but is he going to be fit enough to start? Because I don't think he's played this season yet, so it's a big ass throwing him straight in at the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see Will Grigg start. I think it'll be 2-1 Villa.
2-1 Villa.
When did you last back us not to lose, man?
I can't remember. Probably September.
Well, you're going for
see, he went two. It's interesting. He went 2-1 Wigan at Villa, and then he went on his 3-2 Wigan wins.
Yeah. Mm.
Thorpe.
The one thing that we've not got that we desperately need is points. Evans missed that sitter against Sheffield United, otherwise that would have been a different game. We missed the penalty against Millwall, it would have been a different game. Well, I reckon on Saturday, the sliding doors moments are going to go in our favour. We're going to get ahead. Then we're going to get ahead even more. and it's going to finish up 3-1 Latics.
3-1 Latics. Well, there's still 60 points available this season, so add that to what we've already got.
We'll get six of them.
We'll be right up there. Old Adam. I've wrote my score down, by the way, before we go into this.
Well, why don't you tell us what you're doing?
No, because then that might fudge.
To be fair, it's one of those where Joe said that he expects us to score because of Villa's defence, but yet I think West Brom have only kept four or five clean sheets this season.
And what about Villa?
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. We couldn't manage a goal against
them. Yeah, so.
All right.
Do we need one? I'm getting there if you let me finish my point.
She's taking a while, that's all.
Yeah, it is getting on a bit. Come on, Adam.
Yeah. We need one just to basically hit someone's arse and go in, don't we, and get us going again. And I think maybe we'll get that bit of luck.
Can we say that?
Well, we've said it twice now, so.
Yeah. 2-1.
2-1 Wigan.
Yeah.
Mm. Young Adam.
Yeah, I agree with Joe's prediction. 1-1, I can see a 1-1. And I can see Simon's gone for 1-1 as well, so great minds think alike, really.
Yeah.
Pair of asses. Go back home win.
I think we'll go in 1-0 at half time, and then they'll get some scrap equaliser, and that'll just sum it up, really.
What do you think the team will be?
Walton in goal. Right back, Reece James. Centre backs are Dunkley and Kiepre, left back.
Solid so far.
Naismith.
Yeah.
Right hand side, Gavin Massey, centre mid.
Gavin Massey. What's he going to do?
He's got one leg.
Massey's going to
start again.
Right hand side, Nathan Byrne.
Yeah, not Gavin Massey.
Centre mids. Evans, Gibson.
Is he injured as well?
Morsi.
I think Morsi's injured, isn't he?
Is he?
Potentially, I think
that's why he did. Yeah. So, Evans, Gibson on the left. Yes, Gary. Gary Roberts.
Why not? Yes, Pilks.
Because I don't think he'll be much fit. Behind Will Gree.
Will
be Josh Windass.
If he's not played all season, he should be fit.
He should be fit.
Yeah, he should.
Well, not match fit.
How is he going to get match fit? You know, when you say match fit, you're talking about having sharpness from a running game, aren't you? But he...
Oh, you want to know that...
He should be ready to go for a first game. He should be fit enough to go for a game.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And then maybe the second game is where you miss out, because you've pushed it further. But
it's all you later.
I
understand it, but it winds me up
about hamstrings injuries.
It's rearing his
head. Unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, he's meant to have a tweak of his hamstring. We've got Massey, Jacobs, Powell, Greg, all had hamstring injuries.
Morris is an hamstring, is it?
It's getting a bit
tight
past
hamstring when it.
It's getting a bit past the coincidence point now, isn't it?
It's just so odd. I mean, you know, obviously, we're not on here to doubt people's professionalism and thinking, but it's just. If they are all coincidences, we've had some shocking luck, haven't we?
I think it's the tougher up at Exton. The grass.
I'll tell you what, might be interesting looking at.
Michael Jacobs been on.
Something in the water there.
Might be interesting looking at Bolton's record of hamstring injuries when they used to train at
Blacks. Yeah, what about last season? We had no injuries.
Yeah, but when did we buy it? Was it not halfway through last season?
We've had it a couple of years now.
Right. Did a couple of visits, didn't we?
I think it's just probably bad luck, you always think to yourself, well, there's so many out with the same injury. Yeah.
Just going back to predictions, I know young Adam wants to know how the league was going on.
No, I did not.
So, bottom of the league. Is
Can I have a pound on Simon being top?
There hasn't even been a game last week. There has been a slight change in results.
Yeah, there hasn't been a slight change at the bottom of the league, though, has there, Simon?
Young Adam props up the league on
carrying us.
It's a wonder you're so interested.
Four points after 26 games.
Ooh.
People. That is terrible.
It's just me. Actually, at start of the season, I'm going to really take it seriously this year. Yeah,
then there's Mr. Thorpe on 6 points.
Yeah, we don't take it serious, do we? We just, every week it's there, we're going to stuff them.
You gained a point against Swansea. Barry is on 8 points. Gareth is joint with Alderanham on 9 points. Who, bearing in mind, Alderanham hasn't picked up a point since Reading on the 24th of November.
Of Wigan. Of Wigan.
And then top of the league, top of the league is myself. 13 points.
Yeah. How much do I win?
I picked up a point against Sheffield United when I batted 2-0. 2-0 win. So, has anyone else got anything they'd like to bring to the table before we close this evening's...
Some points, mate.
The Wigan fans just cheer up a little bit and stop moaning all the time.
To be fair, I think, and obviously some of you guys go away games and I don't. It has been, like I say, it's been like sliding doors moments where we could have been half decent, but it's so frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're your own lucky football.
Yeah, the mentality, you can see it, that suddenly they get scared straight up dead easy when last season, you know, you go a goal behind, instead of going, oh, we're a goal behind, we're going to lose, it's like, yeah, never mind lads, we're going to win this 2-1, and they still play positive and go forwards, whereas now it's like right backs to the wall. It's a psychological game.
Yeah, but where you finish in the end is where you deserve, isn't it? Right at the end, you don't fall to the 8, doesn't it?
Yeah, well.
Well, sometimes.
So, on that bombshell, it's a good night for me.
Good night, everybody.
Up the ticks.